Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Free Indeed with Josh. And today we're going to be talking about emotions and why mastering your emotions, taking control of your emotions and handing them over to your nature, who you are in Christ, is in your best interest to help you overcome addictions and temptations.
Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free.
Whosoever the sun sets free.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
So we're going to begin with asking the question, what exactly are emotions? How do you define an emotion? A psychologist called William James defines it as the state of mind that produces a feeling, then manifests itself in a sensible body change. What this is meaning is that it's a state of mind, a thought process, or something that happens in your mind that results in a physical, actual change in your body. In your actions, in your decision, in things you do. People feel things and then they act out the way they feel. For instance, you might feel anger and your anger boils down to the fact you want to slap somebody. Somebody annoys you. So that anger has made you act in a certain way. So that's what the definition is about. This just reminds me of a show. I've forgotten how the exact title is called. I think The Weirdest Ways to Die. The Worst Ways People Have Died, or The Weirdest Ways People Have Died. And in this episode, it's a true life story actually, and someone hosted a group of people at his house for a dinner party. And after about 4 days, he was just talking with people and then he bragged casually about how he served them a baked cat for meat during the feast. And a young woman who had been at the dinner party became so horrified that she immediately started violently throwing up and had a very bad fever until she died, guys. She actually died. It was a lie, of course, but once the young woman's mind believed it, her emotions had such a drastic effect on what were perfectly healthy organs, and they shut down and she actually died. I just said this story to make you understand that emotions are very, very powerful in making you act out in certain ways. People boast about how if you want people to react in something, they make them feel. Like, it's a marketing tool. If you want people to buy your stuff, they have to feel a certain type of emotion. They have to feel that they want it. That's why Coca-Cola have used this so much that in the adverts, they make you want to drink Coke because they just create a very thirsty scenario. And then there's this cold Coke and stuff. So when you're thirsty, the first thing that comes to your mind is, I need to drink a cold bottle of Coke. Meanwhile, water is the best. Like, water has no size. Water is the best. But then, because they've tapped into your emotion of thirst, the emotion of when you're thirsty, you need something cold to drink. So they've tapped into that and been able to drill into your mind that, okay, this is what you should do. So they've tapped into that emotion and it has caused a chain reaction that makes you want to buy Coke, to thereby giving them money. That's how powerful emotions are, guys. That's how powerful it is. I realized on my journey to being free from sexual immorality issues and also drug addiction that temptation is made effective, very effective, when an emotion is attached to it. Now, this emotion will now affect your bodies in such a way that it will react in certain ways. For instance, lust. When your brain sees something lustful, it releases some kind of chemicals, or it sends a message to your body that makes it react in a certain way, thereby controlling you to maybe masturbate or look for somebody to have sex with or take drugs or drink or be suicidal, stuff like that. Temptation comes, and these temptations are amplified by the devil, by your emotions. The devil understands how the body works. He understands how the flesh works. He has studied the flesh for thousands and thousands of years, so he understands how it works. So this is how he packages temptations. They work side by side with your emotions. So getting a firm grip on your emotion is very detrimental. It's very important to your life of living free of addictions and temptations with the devil, such that when the devil comes, you can see him from a mile away already, and you know, okay, this is not who I am and stuff. So let me lay down at once. I should have said this at the beginning, but I thank God I remembered now. Let me just say this. It is okay to fear. It's not a sin. Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. So the temptation is not the sin. You feeling it is not the sin at all. It's okay to feel. Though emotions should never control us as believers, they should be felt. However, they should not be indulged. This is where people fail to see the difference. I'm not saying you should be a robot. Nobody, as long as you're on this earth, in this body comes with emotions. You're going to feel emotions, right? If somebody loses their job, they're going to be disturbed, right? If a child is being disobedient, the parents are going to feel sad, right? You should feel them, but then don't indulge them, right? It's mature to feel them, but immature to wallow in them or give them control over your body. For instance, you get angry, you feel anger, and then you give into the feeling of anger to hit somebody. That is where it is wrong. Feeling the anger itself is like the temptation coming to make you act out in anger. Now, where you do not act out, that's when you've won the battle of the temptation that is trying to attach itself to an emotion to make you act out in the wrong way. I've watched a video online of somebody who they got in an angry fight and he punched the person and the person died. They took that guy to prison. He killed somebody to murder. They don't care if he angered him or if he said bad words or whatever. As long as he acted out and he killed somebody, he was wrong. So this is where the balance is. It's okay to feel, but letting that feeling control your actions, wallowing in that feeling, is the problem. So this is why in the last 2 months, a lot of things have happened online that have made people get very emotional and very angry and stuff. And one of them is how this whole emotion things and allowing your emotions control you is why a police officer whose job it is to protect and guide people will let his emotion of hate and superiority complex overcome his duty, and he will kill somebody who is not the same color with him because he thinks he's more superior than him, right? That is why that can happen. It's also why a group of boys or men, let me just say a group of men, who have watched porn so much and they see different scenes where women dressed as nuns, covered from head to toe, or dressed as schoolgirls, or doctors, or lawyers, or just any female role, normal female role. In these porn scenes, right, they dress like that, and at first they say they don't want it, and then with persistence, when sex is going on, they're so happy to have it and all of that. This is why when these young men see these things and they see, okay, the girl actually wants it, even if she says no, they can go out, and when a woman says no, they will rape the person. Even without the woman saying no, they say, okay, this girl, she's going to read in school, she's going to read in the church, let's go and rape her. She wants it, even if she's trying to say she doesn't want it, let's go and rape her. And they succumb to the emotion of lust. It overrides the normal human being sense and common decency that you should have for human life. Lust overrides that, and they do it anyway. So also, genocide has happened in the world. Records of genocide, like Hitler. Hitler was able to influence people, their sense of pride, their sense of self-worth. No, not self-worth. A sense of superiority complex and racism. He was able to hold on to that pride, hold on to that hate, right? And gather a lot of followers, gather a lot of people who followed and believed in his vision so much that there was a huge amount of people, Jews, who died because of that. It's why, also, speaking of genocides, like what happened in Rwanda, how the Hutus and the Tutsis killed themselves because one hated the other, the same color, but just because hate speech was spread over the radio about how you should kill these Hutus, they are this, that. That's why a lot of people were killed. Like, if you really hear and listen, I think it's Hotel Rwanda, that movie. Oh my god, that movie is so emotional. So all that killing and all those things stem from when people allow their emotions to control them. Like, civilizations have fallen because of lust, because of greed, all these emotions that people allow them to have control. People allow these emotions to have control over their bodies, and they do things because of these emotions. This is how man has lived. This is why there's so much pain, so much hurt in this world. So what is the solution? We've spoken about what the problem is. What is the solution? The solution is the Spirit of God in the heart of a man. This is the solution. This is the only thing that can save a man. Because when the Spirit of God comes to live in you, your nature is changed, right? In such a way that the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, I've said this before, I'll say it again. The fruit of the Spirit, that phrase means this is the resulting factor of the Spirit of God dwelling inside your heart. That's what that phrase means. And the resulting factor is that you have love. You are joyous. It didn't say the fruits. It's saying this is the resulting factor. You are joyous. You have joy. You have love. You have peace. You have self-control, etc., etc., etc. Now, this has become your nature. It is not a new set of emotions that you should feel. Okay, those other emotions, maybe greed, all those things, they are bad. So now these emotions are the good things. No, there's a difference between the nature of a man and the emotions of the old man. There's a difference between the nature of the new man in Christ and the emotions of the old man. Now, normally, even people who are not believers, they're happy. They get happy, they get joyous, they are peaceful, they are loving. Some of them have amazing self-control and stuff. But what the difference is now is that your nature is proactive. Now, emotions are reactive. Like, something has to happen for a natural man to be happy, to be joyous. Something has to happen for a natural man to show love, right? But for us who are in Christ, our nature is now proactive. It doesn't wait for something to happen to it before it becomes joyous. Because Paul, who was locked up in a jail cell, in a dungeon, wrote to people who were free and told them to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Like, it doesn't make any sense how the apostles, let me use, rather than using that scenario, I will use Paul and Silas, right? They were in jail. Remember that this was the first instance of people breaking out of jail because they were praising God. So they were not praising God to break out of jail. That had never been done before. So they were not trying to praise God so that they can break out of the jail. And it is proven for the fact that that is true, because when the chains fell off, the doors were thrown open, the door ran out, they were still inside praising God. Such that when the jail guy came and saw them, saw that the prison doors were open, wanted to kill himself, and they shouted, "Don't kill yourself," right? So they were beaten with rods, and then locked up and chained up in dungeon cells, and they still praised the Lord out of joy and love in their hearts. Guys, the new nature that you have is proactive. It's not reactive. Please, it is not reactive. For instance, how we love. We're not loving because there is a reason to love. The same thing Christ did for us. He did not love us and die for us because we were worthy of it. Nobody was deserving of it. His love is proactive. So our love is proactive, not reactive. So that's the difference between emotions and the nature of God in you. It is proactive. Emotions are reactive, and that's how they are, right? So I'd just like to give a few examples to further buttress this point and make you see how it's very important for you to understand that as a believer, you should not rate your emotions. Don't rate your feelings. Like, I don't rate my feelings at all. Like, man, my feelings are just, they're like, my feelings are like warning lights. I don't know if you've anybody who has driven a car before, you might see a warning light come up on your dashboard, and it's a telltale sign of something that is wrong. You have to stop the car and check, or you have to take it to the mechanic. So when I feel emotions, I know that something is wrong somewhere, and I check it out and I fix it and correct it with the word of God. I've gotten so used to doing it that it's my natural reaction now. When I feel something, okay, I look at it with who I am in Christ, and then I check it out. Do you understand? So it's not, so people might say, you're trying to say that we should not be ourselves, we should not be who we really are, you're trying to suppress who you really are. No, rather, because you're in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, when you allow your emotions have the run of the mill of your house, of your home, of your mind, and then they cause you to act out in certain ways, you're suppressing who you really are in Christ, which is self-control, which has love, which has joy, which has peace. Peace not tied to anything on this world, because Christ said it when he was ascending. He said, "My peace I give unto you, peace not of this world." Do you understand? So that's the difference. And let me give like an example. I'll give several grades of examples to make you understand how, because I was able to overcome the tiny wars, the tiny battles of taking back the control over my life, over my actions, from emotions, and giving it to the Spirit of God, it helped me overcome battles that prepared me for other battles. All right, so first and foremost, you know, when I got saved, I got delivered also. If you've not listened to my How I Got Saved podcast, please go to Butterfly Effect. I think it's the second episode of this season. So when I got saved, I got delivered immediately. And 6 months down the road, I was sitting there in my office and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you've tried. It's been 6 months. You've not had sex. You've not watched porn. You've not masturbated." These are things that I could not go like a day without doing. And sex was like a week without doing. "You've not done this. Oh my, you try. Now, pride, temptation had come. I didn't notice it. And pride had been infused in it. So my emotions were now infused in it. And then a friend of mine came around and she said she was staying in a hotel. And I was like, "Okay, let me come and see you and stuff." But then the Holy Spirit told me, "Don't go." But I was like, "No. 6 months, I've not done anything. No, nothing's going to happen." She knows my journey safe. I told her when I got saved, I told her, so nothing's going to happen and stuff. That's how pride had entered me and had made me act out in pride by going to the hotel. So I went to the hotel room and we almost had sex, guys. Like, I had to run away. Like, almost had sex. The point that we were almost naked. Like, we were naked and just for me to slide in. And from within, I realized my mistake. Like, in a split second, I realized my mistake and I cried out to the Lord for help. And strength came from somewhere within me, came from the nature of God within me. Self-control came, and I tied my clothes and ran away. That's how I was able to control myself, by the Spirit of God. So I almost fell, right? But then confirming the nature of God within me, who I was, the new man I am in Christ, over the lust and the passion and the pride and everything I felt in that moment, helped me overcome that battle. So going forward now, it was like, I think after that instance, it was 9 months later, I went on a business trip to Abeokuta. So when I was in Abeokuta, I was the lead for a training. I was the head of a training and I was just planning, leading and coordinating the whole thing. So it took me a lot of my time and stuff. So I always go back to my hotel tired and just run out. So this time I went back to my hotel, I was tired, I was worn out, and I was lying on my bed. I just showered, feeling fresh, lights were off, the AC was on, I had my laptop, there was free Wi-Fi, and I just had the temptation came to watch porn and masturbate, and the emotion of lust came with it, right? So as it came with it, I was trying to contemplate on doing it. And then I noticed, like, okay, this is the wrong emotion. I have self-control. So this is my nature. I have self-control. I can't do this. And I've told people, by that time, I already shared my testimony with a few people, and also in church. I said, I've told people that God had delivered me. If I should go back and do this thing, am I going to call God a liar? Like, no, I'm not going to call God a liar in my life. And just because I was able to separate my emotion that was going to transpire into an action from the nature of who I am, and I was able to choose the nature, I overcame that battle. Right? Now, this led to another battle. Okay. So, after I got married, November, I think in February, right? Late February, I got a car. And then that same week, I was supposos to travel to Jos the next day because my wife was still doing her master's in Jos, so she was back in Jos. So I was supposed to travel to go and see her and show her the car and stuff. And it was going to be my first time driving that long a distance. So I said, all right. The next day, after I left the office, I drove out from the office. So I had a colleague that was staying around my area and she just wanted me to drop her off. So I was like, no, I'll drop you off. So we went and I wanted to buy fuel. I was going to buy fuel for the journey. So I went to the fuel station close to my office. And then they had a POS. And I tried using the POS and it bounced twice. So like, POS bounced twice. And they already put the fuel inside my car. So one of the attendants followed me. I went to an ATM and withdrew the money, right? And then I was still going to pass his fuel station on my way home, so I'll drop him off. But my colleague said she forgot something in the office, so just quickly, since we're close to the office, we can just quickly go back to the office. So I said, okay, no problem. So we're about to cross an intersection, and then this dispatch driver on full speed runs into the passenger door of my car, and then he flies over the car, right? And like the glass shatters of my window, the door shatters, and then he flies over the car, and then he lands on his neck, and his body snaps he lands on his head because his helmet flew away, and his body snaps his body snaps in front. And his neck, I don't know how to explain it, but I could forget what I was trying to say. Anyway, and then he straightens up, starts foaming in the mouth, and then stops shaking. Like he was shaking, convulsing, foaming in the mouth with blood and spit and stuff. And then he stops shaking and then he stiffens. So people gather. I'm dazed from the accident. I check, first of all, I ask my colleague if she's fine. She says she's fine. And then I come down from the car and then I see him. People are gathered and he's dead already. And they bring an ambulance. And the first, because it happened at a junction where road safety is. So the ambulance was ready there. So they bring the ambulance. And then the first and foremost thing that I wanted to do was panic. I wanted to start panicking. Oh, I've killed somebody. Oh, I'm going to go to jail. Oh, my life is over. I've had an accident. My car is dead. Like, I wanted to start panicking and being scared and just freaking out. But then immediately the Holy Spirit is such an amazing companion. He reminds me of who I am in Christ. So he now tells me to enter inside the ambulance with them. They're going to carry the car to the mortuary. So I enter inside. And then I was the only one behind. And then there was in the passenger side, somebody was there and then the driver. So the siren was on. So during when the car was going, there were two people inside the ambulance also at the back. So when the car was going, the Holy Spirit said I should pray, start speaking in tongues and touching him from his feet up to his head. I should keep touching him from his feet up to his head. So I was praying. So I was praying and doing that. And they went to the hospital. So they're going to bring a stretcher to take him to the morgue. And when they came back, he coughed. Guys, oh my God. Like that was one of the most outer body experiences I've ever had in my life. He coughed and then he now rushed to the emergency wing, and they took him into the emergency room where doctors started working on him. Up till now, I don't understand why they allowed me enter the emergency room with him, but I entered. I think it's the Holy Spirit that shut their eyes so let me allow me enter. I entered and I continued praying over him. Guys, I tell you the truth. The very next day, this guy was discharged with nothing more than a twisted ankle. Like, you know when you go to play basketball or something, a twisted ankle. That's all he had when he was discharged. He was totally fine. I remember in the the emergency room, as I was praying over him and touching his legs, I was asking him, can you feel this? He first of all started from his neck, couldn't feel his neck. I would pray and touch, he could not move his neck. I would pray while doctors were walking. Guys, I don't know how it was possible, but I'm glad that it happened. Then I would ask him if he can move his fingers, if he can move his arm, he couldn't move his arm, then he could move his arm, could move his elbow. And if he can move his fingers, flex his finger, he couldn't. I would pray over it, touch it, then he would move his fingers. Then we went down to his leg, down to his right leg, then his left leg, that's the one that had the, that, I don't know what happened. But that's the leg that they put in a cast. So, I'm just thinking, I keep thinking about that day. And if I had allowed my emotions to run amok, my emotions to run mail over me and just run roughshod over my life, and I just got scared, I freaked out. I'm just imagining what could have happened. What could have happened? Like, I might have been in jail. They might have not been free indeed. Podcast, actually. And my wife was pregnant, heavily pregnant during that time. And yes, she was pregnant during that time. Not heavily pregnant. She just found out she was pregnant. So she's pregnant during that time. And that kind of stress would have just, I don't know, had made her have a miscarriage or something. So if I hadn't fought this previous battles with my emotions and one, it wouldn't have prepared me for this accident. It would not. Okay, so going for that now, another personal example was when my daughter was born. So my daughter was born and there was some complication, right? And then she was in the ICU for a while. Like, she was in the ICU for like, I think, 3-4 days. Anyway, so I was the only one allowed able to go and see her. My wife was, she just gave birth, so she was recuperating for like 2 days. And I think the third day she went to go and see her. And on the fourth day, went to go and see her, she didn't look like she was responding to care. She didn't look like she was breathing at all. Her chest was like, it was rattling when she breathed. And it was just awful. I could actually see the nurses that were taking care of her, like side talking and stuff. So I knew how dire the situation was. At this point, I just want to give a shout out, big shout out to Maiwa, my G. Like, during the whole birth process, we prayed together, and he's like my prayer partner, and I love you so much, bro. And also, most importantly, I want to give a big shout out to my pastor, Pastor Manuel Aaron. So when I saw that was happening, like when I saw that she didn't look like she was going to make it through the night, I left. I didn't go back and tell Ope anything. I think I went back and I said, oh, I'm going home. I just feel tired because I was staying with her in the hospital. Like, no, I feel tired. And then on my way home, I now called my pastor and I told him what happened. And I was like, okay, we're going to pray today. Don't worry, everything's good. I'm going to pray. So I got home and then I started praying. And I remember Pastor even texting me around 2 a.m. like, I'm still praying. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. So I kept on praying. And I love you so much, Pastor Aaron. Anyway, I kept on praying, and then my first time when I saw that she was, it looked like she was not going to make it through the night, and I was sure about it, panic started coming up, and huge grief started coming up and stuff. And if I had allowed myself to feel that grief, feel the panic, just allow it to roll over me, I would have not been able to pray as I should have, right? So I went home and I was praying through the night. And around 4 a.m., I guess, yes, 4 a.m., I heard in my spirit, I heard these words loud and clear. I heard the echoes of her cry are going to vibrate off the walls of this house. I was at home and I was praying. And then I heard that her cries are going to fill your ears. And I've forgotten how it was. I wrote it down somewhere else. Anyway, her cries are going to fill your ears, and her joyous laughter is going to bubble up and fill this whole house with joy. Guys, I'm not into the arts. I'm not poetic. So I knew that was the Holy Spirit. That was God telling me everything was going to be fine. I knew. And then I went to bed. Would you believe the very next day, they discharged my daughter from the ICU. Took her to where my wife's room. She was there, and then the next day discharged my wife and my daughter, and they came home. Guys, like, the Lord is so amazing. So I just said that to say how it's important that you have a hold over your emotions. It will help you in life. All right, so this battle now gave me the ability, like, from the first battle, it wasn't as bad, like, giving into sex in the hotel room. It wasn't life-threatening, but I was able to overcome that battle. The next battle in the hotel room in Abeokuta was worse, and I was able to overcome that battle. The next battle with my emotions of a car accident, it was much worse. I was able to overcome that battle. Next one, Hadassah. If Hadassah was not alive today, I don't know, like, man, it would have been really depressing, really sad. Imagine buying clothes for a baby, telling everybody knows you're pregnant, buying clothes, buying everything, and baby is there. Like, that would be awful. Now, the next battle. I think early this year, I traveled for a business trip. And on the business trip where I was at the restaurant, and then there's this girl, very attractive girl, and then I was looking at her, and then I caught her attention, and I saw that she was giving me green light, quote unquote, also. And then the thought came, the feeling of being noticed. Oh, so I still have game, I still look fine, that kind of thing. That pride, that lustful feeling came up, and I should walk up to her, strike a conversation, start talking to her, calling her number and stuff. Nobody will know. Do you understand? Like, I'm in a town that nobody knows me there. Nobody will know. Nothing will happen. News will not get anywhere and stuff. But then I was able to catch that thought and say, okay, this is my emotion speaking. Who I am. Who am I in Christ? I'm self-controlled. I am faithful to my wife and stuff. I was able to overcome that. Guys, this is the worst one, because I love my wife. We have a ministry. If I did that, I won't have the liver to do the ministry we're doing. I would not be able to look my wife in the face, Seth. I will have to confess, and it would just cause problems in my marriage and stuff. So this was like the worst one. So if I had not been able to win all those emotional battles and stamp who I am in Christ, my nature, I would have fallen. And glory to God, I did not fall. I was able to overcome it. I was able to come out of it without falling. So this, I just said all of these personal examples to tell you how it's important to start now. It's important to start now. Take back control from your emotions and give it to your nature in Christ. Give the control to your nature in Christ. You can do this. This is who you are in Christ. This is how you overcome temptations. You have to understand that your emotions are lies. They are false. Who you really are is your nature in Christ. And to feel it is not the same. To feel how you feel is not the same. It's what you do with that feeling. It's how you react. Not allowing it to control you. Not wallowing in those emotions. That is how you overcome these things. It's so important, guys. I'll close with this. God, it's important you understand that God isn't in a hurry to get you where you need to be on this emotional matter. He's not in a hurry, because he doesn't want you to do it eye service, right? He wants you to do it from within. He wants you to understand why it's important that you don't let your emotions, control you. You stand against it with who you are in Christ, right? Because the Bible says this old man was nailed on the cross with Christ 2,000 years ago, and we have risen, resurrected to righteousness as Christ. That's why his spirit lives within us, and his spirit should have the control over your life. God is not in a hurry to get you where you need to be, but you need to get yourself there. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. Things will happen. Bad things will happen. And in that moment, how you react in that moment is very, very, very important. There's a Christian book I read. It's called Blink. And it's about how this guy, he is able to see possible outcomes from every scenario, and he's able to choose one outcome and the best outcome and go with it. So from the book, I realized that it's actually true. Like, there are possible outcomes for every situation that a believer goes through. Now, it's up to you to choose and align yourself with God's will in that outcome, for that outcome. If, for instance, when I had the accident, if I had not done what God's will was for me in that moment, he would have died. God not love me any less. It's not like God was not with me, God did not try to help me, all those things. God did. I remember even that morning, after my morning devotions, I was just in the spirit so much, I kept on worshiping God. Even at work, while I was working, I had like my earphones plugged in. I was listening to worship songs, just praising God, worshiping God, and all of that. Even when we were in the car, I was still playing music, gospel music and stuff. And all through, even when the accident happened, I was still inspired by the Spirit. I still had that atmosphere of inspiration of the Spirit. So if I had not chosen and aligned myself with the will of God, God would still love me, but the guy would have been dead. I might have been in jail, or something would have happened, or the crowd would have lynched me, or something. Do you understand? There are possible outcomes for every scenario a believer finds themselves in. What you do in that moment matters. So in that moment, are you going to allow your emotions override your ability to align yourself with the will of God? This is why we need to have control over your emotions. This is why you need to fight these battles. This is why you need to stand today and say no to that emotion, what that emotion is telling you to do. Say no to it. These small battles build you up for when the bigger battles come. Thank you so much for listening till the end. And remember, who the sun sets free is free indeed. Bye, guys.